Our first reading for this evening is from the 16th chapter of Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, together with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens its mouth, and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord." And as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, "Lest the earth swallows us up." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering their incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to take up the censers out of the blaze. Then scatter the fire far and wide, for they have become holy. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, and they became holy. Thus they shall be assigned to the people of Israel." So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which those who were burned had offered, and they hammered out as a covering for the altar, to be a reminder to the people of Israel, so that no outsider who is not of the descendants of Aaron should draw near to burn incense before the Lord, lest he become like Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him through Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the 19th chapter of Luke. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the word of the Lord. For our reading this evening, both of them dealt with this fifth commandment in one way or another, and they also deal a great deal with authority and even worship. But I'd like us to focus in a little bit on our passage from Numbers. That was the one because that we may be less familiar with. We heard about three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. But we'd like to concentrate on Korah. At this point in the Israelites' history, they were on the Exodus. They were moving for those 40 years. And God had already established how worship was to occur. You may remember, the priests of Levi were the only ones who were to offer sacrifices. Levi and his house. God gave them the authority to offer sacrifices to God. And that is what they did. But within this camp, there was a group of men led by Korah, who basically said to Moses, "All of the people of Israel are holy. All of us are set apart." And Moses would say, "Of course. We are God's holy people. Of course we are." But Korah went further and he said, "So why is Levi set apart more or set apart differently? Only Levi and his house, his descendants, are the ones to be priests. Only they are the ones who are to offer sacrifices, burnt sacrifices and animal sacrifices." And Korah and his followers, which numbered over 250 people, did not like this. They thought all of them should have the authority to be priests. After all, they were all holy people, right? True. But God did not give them the authority to act in a priestly role. Only Levi and his descendants were to do this. But Korah disobeyed. As you heard in the reading, they took censers, bowls made out of bronze, and they offered sacrifices of incense to God, even though they were not supposed to. So they corrupted the right worship of God. They took that authority for themselves, and we know what happened to them. God killed them. But there's more to this than just them burning wrong sacrifices. Think of it this way. They basically said to God, "Yes, God, we know you created us to be this way, to be your holy people, but we feel that's a limited role. We feel that we should have something different." If any of you have been at our adult Bible study the past 2 weeks, you know we've been studying transgenderism, homosexuality, and some of the 72 different isms that our society is inflicting us with. What we are facing right now is, of course, sexual sins, of course, but that's just the symptom. The true issue is this. People nowadays do not want to accept the role that God has given to them. They do not want to accept how God, the Creator, has created them. They're not satisfied with what God has given. And they think they should have something else. So a man, even though he's been gifted by God in his physical nature to be a man, biologically, wants to be a woman. So he may dress as a woman. He may even have an operation to make himself look more like a woman. Because he's basically saying to God, I don't like what you made. I can make it better. Same thing goes for women who want to be men. The same thing goes for men who still want to be a biological man, but dress as a woman. It goes for others who are in pansexual relationships, multi-partner relationships. Don't like the idea that God created Adam and Eve to be one couple. So they fight that. They try to redesign it. They try to create new roles for themselves. Just like Korah did. Korah didn't like how God created the Israelite community. He didn't like how God said, this is how you are, and it's beautiful, good, right, and holy. He thought it was limiting. So he wanted to change it. Think back even to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Their sin was not that they just ate an apple or a fruit. They sinned before they took a bite. The bite just sealed it. The bite was the sacrament, so to speak. They sinned in their hearts beforehand when they believed the devil's lie that they could be something greater than just caretakers of God's garden. Remember, Adam and Eve were created to tend to God's garden, to care for it, to have dominion over all of creation. They didn't want to be caretakers. Because remember what Satan said they could be like if they ate. Because when you eat of it, you will be like God. And there's no greater role you can have for your life than becoming God. So this has been going on for us in our lives since the very beginning, hasn't it? Adam and Eve wanted a new role for themselves. They wanted to take authority for something that wasn't given to them by God. Korah, in his rebellion, he tried to take for himself the priestly class. He wanted to be a priest. He wasn't satisfied with how God made him. He wasn't satisfied with the roles that God gave to him. He wanted something else. And just as today, transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, there are 72 different classes at the moment. Some are saying 112 different classifications that will continue to grow. And each and every one of them, it's the same thing. They want to decide for themselves who or what they are. And they're not going to let simple biology dictate to them. They want to be boundless, without limitations. As one queer writer recently wrote, the queer designation is one that desires to have no bounds, be boundless, limitless. Sounds a lot like God, doesn't it? Boundless, limitless. Only God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Not us. But it's not just with those characters that we face nowadays. We will be constantly tempted to take new roles for ourselves that have not been given to us. For instance, in our society, you only have certain instances in which you are allowed to, say, shoot and kill someone. If you are protecting your home from the home invasion, I believe in Pennsylvania you do have the legal right to shoot that invader. You did in Missouri, at least. So that's why I always made sure I had knocked on the door and rang that doorbell really well and never walked in the house. But in our society, if someone is charging after a police officer or robbing a store and that police officer intervenes and say that robber picks up a gun, the police officer is in every legal right. He has the authority to shoot and kill that individual. He has the authority. If I picked up a gun right now, went outside and shot the first person I saw for no reason, I can't do that. I don't have the authority to do that. And neither do you, because that authority has not been given to you. That's why tonight we're speaking of the fifth commandment. You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. And that's very simple. There's a simple reason why we say that. Because we, you and I, do not have the authority to hurt or harm our neighbor. God has given that authority to very few people or institutions. Paul speaks of this in the New Testament. He has given this authority to governments so that they might keep order. He speaks of them as being given the sword, the ability to inflict capital punishment. But even the governments, they are not supposed to abuse that. Even though you've been given authority over something, you can still abuse your authority. It should always be used rightly. And that leads us back to Numbers. God was the one who ended Korah's rebellion by opening the earth and swallowing them alive, and then by calling down fire to burn up the 250 other followers. Only God had the authority to do that. God is the one who creates life, and God is the one who can end life. He's the only one who's been given that authority. And the greatest time we see this authority being used and used in such a wonderful way for us, is when the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his own life for us. Jesus speaks about this. He said, when his disciples spoke to him and he foretold what would happen, he said, "No one takes my life from me. No one murders me." Jesus said his life is in his hand and that his heavenly Father has given him the authority to lay it down and also the authority to pick it back up again, to take my life back up again. Even within the Trinity, we see a harmonious union of the keeping, not only of the fifth commandment, but a celebration of God's authority over all things. And he does have authority over all things. And during this Easter season, especially remember that and celebrate that our God especially has authority over those who take our life and those who try to prevent us from having life, the devil and death. Because not even those great enemies have the authority to keep any of us in the grave. They don't have that power. They don't have that right, and they certainly don't have the authority. Only God does. And one day, because our God has the authority, he will call you to rise and live again after we have died. He will do this. And that is a promise to all of us. And when that moment comes, and it will come, our bodies can do nothing but obey. Just as Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, must come out of the tomb, must, so also must our bodies, when they have also died, listen to their author and perfecter of life, who on that day will raise us and give us new bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. May God preserve each of us in the faith until that day comes. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.